Hi, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air and here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation. Call and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. After 12 chapters of talking about the grace of God, the justification that we have in Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, this new life that we have in Him, the mercy of God that's been given to us in Christ, Paul tells us in Romans 13, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. We're talking about grace and money. Obviously, Paul has established a firm foundation in the grace of God through the first 12 chapters of the book of Romans. And then he gets to debt. All of us worry about debt. Most of us have all kinds of debt. We've got car payments. We've got credit card payments. We have all sorts of things that we worry about, we struggle with. How are we going to pay these bills? And here Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding. So it's imperative that we do pay these things. And so we want to talk about today is what solutions have you come up with? What plans has God placed in your heart and mind to move forward in the wisdom of God to handle your debt so that you can get to a point where you can experience financial freedom and learn to be more generous with meeting the needs of people around you, supporting gospel ministries, that sort of thing? How has God worked in your heart to deal with this debt issue? Let's talk about it on today's program.
Absolutely. You can do that right now by calling 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open all the time remaining on the clock. Good opportunity for you to call right now and get through. 1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. While the calls are coming in, guys, a question from Cleo, who writes to us from Citrus Heights, California. There's a lot of doctrine, she says, circulating among Christians regarding getting saved after one dies. If you die and you have not given your heart to Christ Jesus and go before the throne of God, supposedly you can ask forgiveness then and get saved by His love. What are your thoughts regarding this, and is there any biblical basis for that belief? That's from Cleo in Citrus Heights, California.
Well, Bob, I think the scripture is very clear in Hebrews chapter 9. It says this, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So once a person dies, judgment is the next thing. And there's no opportunity for repentance after death. There's no opportunity to receive life after physical death. So it's what happens between the time we are born physically and the time that we die physically. And God makes sure that we have every opportunity possible to respond to His testimony concerning His Son. His desire is for us to be saved. And so we see, nature beholds His glory. It reveals something to each and every one of us about God. It's not that we have to question whether God exists. I mean, His presence is everywhere. We can see that there is a God. The next question is, how do I get to know Him? Well, the only way is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And so God is big enough to make His testimony concerning Jesus available to each and every person. But once physical death enters the picture, then your eternal fate is sealed.
Yeah.
And at some point, your body is going to be raised. You're going to face the great white throne judgment if you're lost. And you will hear God's final decree at that point. If you're saved, you're going to be raised. You're going to get a brand new body, a body that is immortal, and you're going to experience everlasting life in the presence of God. That's just the way it is. Yeah. So there is no chance after death.
Right. That's it.
Not at all. There's a lot of folks that teach that. I've heard Christian pastors teach that, but there's no biblical basis for it whatsoever.
And Cleo, hope that's a help to you, and hope you'll keep listening and contact us again if you have further questions. And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who would like to pose a question by email, if you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition. Right now, plenty of open lines, friends, and we await your calls on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and that open line, 1-800-677-9377. It's available for you right now. Call quickly, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, right now, between now and March 31st, we have a wonderful matching gift challenge. We want to make that known to our listeners. Several members of our board of directors came to me after a meeting several weeks ago and said they would like to do a matching gift challenge. Well, here's what that means, that those three will match every gift that comes in dollar for dollar up to $25,000 between now and the end of the month. I thought that was an incredibly generous challenge, and we want to present that to you, our listeners. We mentioned it yesterday for the first time on air, and after looking at all of the different contributions that came in, I think almost $2,500 was given yesterday, right. So one-tenth of that challenge. So we are very, very encouraged by that response, but there's still 90% to go. So if you want to give to Basic Gospel, now is the opportune time to do so. Why? Because you will be doubling your impact. A gift of $100 is basically like giving $200. Yeah. Well, what does that mean to you? That just extends the reach of your ministry through Basic Gospel. It extends the reach to twice the number of people you would have reached ordinarily.
Yeah.
So take advantage of this opportunity. Help meet this matching gift challenge. I would love to see that challenge shattered by the end of this week.
Yeah. Link online at basicgospel.net. You'll find that big old link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or call during Central Time office hours. Speak with our operator to make your gift. That's 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Tim in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Tim.
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, my question is, can you explain what they mean by circumcision of the heart?
Tim, that's a good question, and all I think it means is God has cut away that old evil heart and has replaced it with a new heart. That's what happens at salvation. When we're made alive in Christ, we go from death to life, and now we have hearts that can respond to God in faith, love Him, and then love others as God and Christ has loved us.
Okay. On that note, I guess basically now children don't have to be circumcised anymore. Is that just an old way of thinking of a law or of guilt?
Well, there's no real medical reason for it. I mean, it was given by God to be a sign that people of Israel were dedicated to God, were devoted to Him, were connected with Him. But it was an external sign. That was one of the things that separated the people of Israel from the rest of the world. But God has given us another sign, another seal. That's the gift of His Spirit. And it's His Spirit that circumcises our hearts and makes them in such a way that they can respond to God in love and learn to love others.
Okay. I thank you very much, guys. That answered my question. And I thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thanks,
well,
Tim.
You are so welcome, Tim. Here's a great passage just as a follow-up to Tim's call in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 6, and I think it's one of the most significant verses in all the Bible. And it says this: the Lord God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. So they knew what the sign of circumcision was. Abraham was given that sign. He actually circumcised Ishmael. I don't know that very many people know that, but he did. And then when Isaac came along on the eighth day, he he circumcised Isaac, and that became a tradition. But it was a sign that they were the people of God, that their hearts were devoted to him. But that was foreshadowing what this verse talks about in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. And there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. And it's this, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. We find that fulfilled in Jesus. And Paul picks up this theme in his letter to the Colossians, and he says, when you were dead in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive. He forgave all of your sins. He circumcised your heart, not done by human hands, but by the work of God's Spirit. So anybody who's a believer in Christ, their hearts have been circumcised so that they can love the Lord and love others.
Yeah,
that's good news.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, lots of open lines, and a good opportunity for you to call straight through. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and talk with Mike. I definitely would like to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hey, Mike.
Hey, not today you wouldn't.
Okay.
It's cold and nasty out. But anyways, I'm a fairly new Christian, and I had been listening to certain, I won't give pet preachers names, but they tend to think that a seeker-friendly church is, I don't know, I've listened to them and I got kind of messed up. Like they're saying seeker-sensitive churches are not biblical, and I don't know, I just got a very negative taste on all that because I've listened to some preachers preaching on that. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Well, yeah, Mike, sure, there's a lot of mixed messages going out over the airwaves, both radio and television, and if you sat and listened all day long, at the end of the day, you would just be one confused puppy. I mean, not knowing what's right and what's wrong. One, that's why we have to let the Word of God be our standard for truth. So whatever you hear, you judge it against what the Word of God has to say. So what you're hearing through this broadcast out of our mouths, it may sound good to you, it may sound true to you, it may sound right to you, it may even resonate deep within as truth. But our encouragement to you would be this, Mike, to take what you hear on the program, bounce it off the Word of God, and if the Word of God confirms it, then you go with it. But if the Word of God doesn't confirm it, then I think you judge it for what it is. It's not truth. Now, as far as churches, there's all different types of churches out there. In the last 20 years, seeker-friendly churches have popped up everywhere. And some of these are mega churches. And what they're trying to do is to invite, the lost world into the confines of the church so that they can hear some encouragement, so they can actually hear the gospel message. And the hope is that we'll see a lot of people being saved. And once they're saved, that they will really get on board and really serve that body of believers. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. A lot of evangelism has taken place through seeker-sensitive churches. Of course, you can't lump all seeker-sensitive churches into one pile. There might be some pastors in seeker-sensitive churches that aren't preaching truth, aren't preaching the Word of God, aren't preaching the gospel. They may just be preaching positive feel-good messages, nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with the fact that Jesus's blood took away our sins once for all, nothing to do with the fact that in Jesus we can be declared righteous, or in Jesus that we can be made alive. They may be just talking about, how to be successful, using, some principles to be successful in life. Well, I think we need some discernment in that. We need the good news. We need the gospel. We need Jesus. And if a church recognizes that and lifts up the name of Jesus and holds out the word of God as the standard for truth, I think that we can be comfortable in any style of church, so to speak.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Mike?
That was great help to me. I really appreciate it because I was getting a real sour taste listening to, they lump all the secretive churches together saying that they're, it's a watered down gospel. And then I started getting real negative on that, but now I'm starting to lean. I think you have to split between love and discipline, I guess, where I was leaning too much towards the discipline, and there's got to be a balance in there somewhere.
Well, this discipline, as far as God is concerned, discipline flows from a heart of love. The reason God would discipline us, Mike, is because he loves us. That's the only reason. And he does it for our good so that we can experience a harvest of righteousness in our lives. So that's a very, very positive thing. It's one of the signs of assurance that we truly belong to God, the fact that he would reach in and discipline us. But again, that's out of his heart of love for us. But as far as churches, what I say to people, go to a church, listen to what the pastor has to say, find out what their belief system is, talk to some people there, and then you can make some sort of judgment as to whether or not that's going to be a place that you would want to settle in and to serve, or if you need to go to the next place. There's going to be some denominations that you will be more comfortable with than others, but even there, it depends on the leadership. There could be one Methodist church, I'll just throw that out there, where the pastor is very biblically oriented, very grace oriented. He's lifting up Jesus every single sermon. And then you can go to another Methodist church and the guy never talks about Jesus. He's just talking about social justice and all of these sort of things. You say, well, why is the difference? Well, it gets down to the leadership in those two places. So you really have to kind of look at the leadership in each and every place that you visit.
Well, I thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
We sure will, Mike, thank and you, Mike. Hope the weather gets better in Myrtle Beach.
Somebody said every form of refuge has its price.
That's exactly right. Well, let's go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and talk to Celeste. Hi, Celeste.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for your show. It has been very helpful to me.
Well, thank you for saying so. We appreciate that encouragement.
I have a question that I have been struggling with for some time. I'm a long-term Christian, and I never know how to answer this when I get into a discussion with a non-believer who confronts me with this, and I'm embarrassed to even call in because I should know this, but I never know how to respond. It's the issue of when a non-believer responds to me and says, I don't see why we should even pray or ask God for anything, or even get saved for that matter, but more so asking God for things to happen in the world, to sway God, in politics or, who's going to be president or world events, so on and so forth, or even our personal own future plans, because God already knows everything. He has planned everything. He has foreordained everything and has set everything in its pace. And I never know how to respond to that. It is true that God has foreordained everything, and he already knows what's going to go on with our future, with world events, et cetera, et cetera. Can you just kind of give me your thoughts on that and how might be the best way to respond?
Well, Celeste, I think those folks that are asking you that question, and you've identified them as unbelievers, they're lost, and so they're questioning you about prayer. Well, they have a mindset of Christians being lobbyists, and prayer is our method of lobbying God. So you have all of these companies out there, and they have a lobby, and they send lobbyists to Washington to appeal to the politicians in Washington to get things done on behalf of their companies, to serve the interests of their companies. And so that's what these folks are looking at prayer as, is our way of lobbying God to serve our interests in this world. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is a part of our relationship with God. Prayer is a part of our communication with God. Prayer is much like if you're married, Celeste, you and your husband talk. Y'all talk about things that are important to you. You talk about desires. You talk about dreams. You talk about how to handle the kids. You talk about all sorts of stuff. Well, we have that opportunity with God to talk to Him. And that's what prayer is all about. God encourages us to pray because He knows we need to pray. He knows we need to talk with Him. He knows that we need to open up our hearts to Him and just lay them bare and to say, God, this is what's going on inside. And prayer's that opportunity to do so. It's not there to try to change God's mind. It's not there to to present God some needs that He's not aware about or aware of. It's just an opportunity for us to communicate. And I think that's how you respond back to those friends and just say, as a believer in Christ, I'm not praying to get God to do what I want Him to do. I'm praying because I love to communicate with my Heavenly Father. That's part of the relationship, and that's why I pray.
Okay.
Does that make sense
to
you?
It does. It does. It just seems like, they get a little hostile when they're saying, well, God's not going to change world events because He's already decided, what's going to happen in the world. So, those are more along the lines that we're talking about, it's just changing world events, the outcome, like the Bible says in the book of Revelation, what will happen in the end, and we already know that. And that's more so what they're talking about is, everything's already been set in motion. Why should we bother, And that's what I was kind of confused about.
Well, so. Again, they're looking at it from, the wrong perspective. If you have an opportunity to communicate with the God of this universe, why wouldn't you take that opportunity? That's
right.
I think that's how I would respond back to them. They're looking at it as, the only reason I would pray is to try to get God to do something. Well, that's not the reason for prayer. That's not the motivation for prayer. Prayer is simply our communication with God. That's the reason we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Celeste,
okay,
I hope
I
that.
Got you.
Okay. Hope that helps, Celeste. Great question. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And as we've mentioned, we have a wonderful matching gift challenge from our board of directors. Between now and March 31st, you can double the reach of your ministry through Basic Gospel. Every contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. Normally, a gift of $175 reaches $500. Thanks to the matching gift challenge, that same $175 gift can now reach 1,000 people with the gospel message. This is a perfect time to offer your most generous gift and really make it count. Your gift today has double impact, connecting people with the love of Jesus Christ. Make your gift by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828. Or link online at basicgospel.net. Please be sure to choose matching gift as the fund designation. By the way, we also accept donations through PayPal. Currently, this is the best way for those of you listening outside the U.S. to support the ministry. And thank you for helping us broadcast the only message that matters with your matching gift. We hope you'll visit our website and poke around. It's a rich resource. Hope you'll take full advantage of it. questions. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.